Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Deep Trouble 2 by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. It has been an eventful week and a half since I last recorded. I went up to Los Angeles to go see D'Antwoord, and we got an Airbnb with Alex and Fred and Azalea. And Connie didn't want to go, so Marty went, which was cool. What the fuck? Someone's blasting some sort of talk radio outside of my house. They're trying to compete with me, god damn it. Anyway, saw D'Antwoord, drank a lot, hung out with Anderson from the After Disaster for quite a long time. Saw Dr. Drew walking by, speaking of two Loveline people in one, but he was not going to D'Antwoord, and I didn't want to bother that boy. Then the next day, we were trying to figure out what to do. Got some breakfast at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, which I guess they're opening one near me, which is rad, but now they're only in LA. And then we were trying to figure out what to do, and then Alex and I went to Universal Studios. So that was cool, because they have a whole Simpsons land. We just walked through the Harry Potter land once, because I didn't want to go without Connie, because she's all hecka into it and wanted to go together, so... Anyway, went to the Simpsons one mainly, but getting a fucking beer at Moe's is like the raddest thing ever. Simpsons is by far my favorite show of all time, so it's nice. I don't know, maybe Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I don't know. I shouldn't make these definitive statements. But before that happened, while I'm already complaining about money and my job ending, which it officially does a week from today, today's Friday, September 30th, the job I've had for almost 10 and a half years that had all these big promises for me when it ended, and now it's like, no, sorry, not coming to fruition. Anyway, my fucking phone died. I got an update from Sprint that was like, or I guess Android update, and it just was like, okay, install update, and never booted back up. Went to go to four goddamn Sprint stores. Anyway, I had to buy a phone outright that I don't even like. I got a Galaxy S7 Samsung boy. I don't know. I don't like it very much. It's small. I like big, bulky phones. And so, I don't know, that's $700 that I don't have anymore. Oh, God. And then what else went on? Connie and I went to Viking Fest. It was a Viking Fest. And so I start a new job a week from Monday, doing all sorts of shit. I don't know. I'm sure I'll keep you informed. Anyway, that's what's going on with me. That's kind of interesting, right? I don't know. I'm drinking vodka cream soda because I'm a boy at heart. Let's just dive into it. Chapter number 18. Hold on there. Dr. D put his arms around me and she. Nah. Don't pay any attention to Billy. He has a wild imagination. The wildest, Sheena piped in like the guy playing the bagpipes at the Viking Fest. He's always making up stories about, you know, mermaids and giant sea creatures and his uncle molesting him on a boat, Dr. D went in. They're all lies. He's a big, fat liar, Sheena added. Everyone knows that. Sounds like Crooked Hillary if you ask me. Believe me, Dr. Bitter, my uncle pleaded. We haven't seen anything strange at all. I mean, a giant goldfish? That's just a koi, idiot. Just kidding, he didn't say that. You're a scientist, Dr. Bitter. You know as well as I do that that is impossible. Dr. Bitter opened his mouth to speak. Something stopped him. A loud noise. A loud, lumbering thudding sound. Crash! Plop! Something broke through the doors and bounced onto the deck. The giant snail. Like that one, god damn it, I was gonna say that one Pokemon, but I don't know the name, it's just a big ass snail. It looked like that Pokemon. I dropped my head in my hands. Oh no! Dr. Ritter raised an eyebrow like the Rock. Looks like your brother is not the big fat liar you say he is. He's just a big fat sack of shit who tells the truth. Oh, he's a big fat liar, all right, Sheena insisted. And he's stupid, too. I kicked her in the shins, which some say is the girl's penis. Ow! She cried my girl penis! "Kids, quiet," Dr. D commanded. The burly blonde guy grabbed me. He pinned my arms behind my back with one hand and gripped me around the neck with the other. Ooh, BDSM-y. "Let's get out of here," I shrieked, like it says in every Goosebumps book. "That hurts." "Quiet, or I'll really hurt you," the blonde guy threatened. The beaky guy grabbed Sheena. She squirmed and tried to kick him like her horrible opiate addiction. But he was too strong for her, and she reached for her fentanyl. "Let them go," Dr. D cried. Mel tightened his grip on me. "I'm so sorry, Dr. Deep," Dr. Ritter said. "I hate to harm a fellow scientist. But you shouldn't have snooped around here. I hate Snoops. I hate Snoop Dogg. I hate Snoop Lion. I hate Snoopy the dog from Peanuts. And I also hate Snoopy, the black girl from The Wire." I guess you don't have to say black in The Wire when they have a nickname like Snoopy. He sighed. "What a shame you wandered into my plankton beds. What a shame you poked your nose into my experiments." "What experiments?" Dr. D asked, having done quite a bit of experimenting in his days. Dr. Ritter laid a strong pimp hand on Dr. D's shoulder. "I'm working on such a brilliant project. It could change the world. It could solve all of our problems." "What is it?"
"Just free booze, like a tap in the house that just has beer. That's what'll solve the problems."
"Ha ha! You are a curious fellow," Dr. Ritter laughed. "Well, I may as well tell you. I've been injecting a growth hormone into the plankton beds in these waters. The fish who feed on the plankton grow to be very large. You've seen the results yourself." Dr. D nodded. "Hey, can I apply some of that to my penis? But how does that solve any problemos?" "In my heart, I'm a good man, Dr. Ritter, like Hitler said. I don't want to hurt anyone. I want to help everyone. I plan to raise huge fish to feed the world, make it a better place. For you and for me to shove fillet of fishes in our face. No one will ever have to go hungry." "Let go of me," Sheena screamed. Adam still held her tightly. "This one is noisy," Adam complained. "Let her go," Dr. Ritter said, "for now." Adam dropped his arms, but he stayed right behind Sheena. "Your experiments sound interesting, Dr. Ritter." "Dr. Ritter," my uncle said, finally realizing he dropped his accent. "I'd like to hear more. Are they working?"
"Yes, they're working, asshole. Do you see that big-ass fish?"
Dr. Ritter smiled. I could tell he liked to talk about his work. "Well, there are a few kinks at the moment."
"You know about kinks, don't you, Dr. D?"
"Ay, but nothing I can't fix."
"What are you going to do with us?"
Sheena broke in. Dr. Ritter frowned at her. "I'm afraid you know too much."
"But I'm a scientist," Dr. D declared. "I would never tell anyone about your work. You have my word on that, and word to your mother."
"Your word isn't enough," Dr. Ritter growled. His temper flared. His face reddened. "I can't let anyone steal my idea." "I would never steal," my uncle insisted, hiding away his Mr. Steal Your Girl wallet. "I'll make sure of that," the other scientist replied coldly. He turned to his two assistants. "Take them." Before Sheena or I could move, Mel and Adam grabbed us and forced us into their motorboat. That was me motorboating. I broke away for a second and scrambled for the ladder, trying to get myself back to the Cassandra. But before I could reach it, they grabbed Dr. D and forced him aboard their boat too. Mel cut the line with one flick of a knife. Adam started the motor. It all happened so fast, we didn't have a chance. Dr. Ritter jumped aboard and grabbed the wheel. He steered the boat out to sea.
"Where are you taking us?"
I cried like a little bitch.
"What are you gonna do?" Chapter number 19. "Get down there!"
Adam shoved Dr. D down into the small cabin. Sheena and I stumbled after him. Mel followed behind us.
What are you gonna do?
I repeated again like a little bitch. You'll see, Adam growled. We marched through the tiny galley. Mel and Adam forced us through a small door into a stuffy cabin with a table and chairs. Mel tied Dr. D to a chair, which he seemed very accustomed to.
Yoda, I put water out for Yoda to drink here. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. I posted a video of it on that weird...
Yodi, come here, up this way. There you go.
On that weird Snapchat thing that's on Instagram, because I don't really like Snapchat at all. But I posted a video of Yoda drinking water while I'm trying to record. It's cute. Anyway, point is, the lapping sound probably didn't help anything. Not that me rambling about it helps either, so never mind.
This isn't necessary, my uncle said softly. I could see he was trying to sound calm. Tell that to Dr. Ritter, Mel muttered mercilessly. Adam, I don't know why adding mercilessly made me laugh. It was just two M words in a row. It doesn't matter. I like that kind of thing. Adam tied up Sheena, then me.
Not so tight, I cried, talking about my butthole's condition.
I leaned over and bit Adam's arm. Good one, Billy. Sheena bounced in her chair. Hey, Adam pulled back, rubbing his arm. This kid bit me. Bite him back, Mel muttered.
Mastication encouragingly. Mel does not need any more M words, even though Mel does do a lot of muttering.
Adam bared his teeth at me, but he didn't bite me, and he didn't tighten my ropes. My plan worked. I was tied to the chair, but not as tightly as he thought. Mel and Adam studied us. Okay, we've taken care of them, Mel said. Let's go get some lunch. They left the cabin, shutting the door behind them.
Ooh, maybe it's since they're on a boat, they're going to have fresh caught ceviche or something delicious. That sounds good. I could go over some of that. It's so fucking hot right now because it's Santa Ana weather. If you look it up, that's when the wind comes from the east, from all the deserts east of San Diego and Southern California, and it gets hot as fuck. Like, it was like 108 the other day. And the point is, when it gets hot, I want ceviche. That's all.
I could hear them in the little galley, rattling plates and silverware. I glanced out the porthole to my right. The boat was speeding away, far from the Cassandra out to sea. I jiggled my hands, trying to loosen the ropes. They were tied pretty well. If I could just get the rope to stretch a little.
That wouldn't be very smart if they tied them up with elastic.
What could this guy, Ritter, be up to? Dr. D wondered aloud. He wasn't really talking to me and Sheena. He was figuring things out for himself. The plankton he's invented really does make fish grow bigger, he said. It could help end world hunger. Isn't that good, Dr. D? Sheena asks, concerned about poor people. I rubbed my wrists against the rope. Come on, loosen, I thought. It might be good, Dr. D went on, but it could be bad too. It could throw the whole balance of nature off. Like, what if poor people didn't starve? That would be upsetting. We don't have that kind of job availability. Rub, rub, rub. I tested the ropes. Rub, rub, rub. I shot out ropes. Were they a little looser? I mean, what are these giant fish supposed to eat? More and more a plankton? They might eat up all the little fish. They might even start eating people. Who knows?
That seems like a stretch.
Speaking of stretching, I stretched my hands against the ropes. The knot had loosened. I tried to pull one of my hands through. No, still too tight. And Dr. Ritter mentioned some kinks, my uncle confirmed. Some problems. I wonder what he's talking about. It could be anything.
Is Dr. D just becoming Mitch Hedberg? Is that what that is?
I strained to hear what Mel and Adam were doing in the galley. It sounded as if they were taking their lunch up on deck. I yanked the ropes hard. I felt something give. I squeezed one hand through the rope. The knot burned against my skin like oh so many cigarettes Dr. D had put out on me. Pulling, pulling, I got it out. One hand was free. Free at last.
Dr. D, I whispered. I held up my free hand.
Good going, Billy,
he whispered back. I untied my other hand and leaped up to untie my uncle.
Hurry, Billy, Sheena urged me. We can sneak off the boat.
Then the door flew open. You interrupted my lunch, Dr. Ritter said, shaking his head. That's not very polite. He blocked the doorway. Mel and Adam planted themselves beside him. You want to get off the boat? He asked. That can be arranged. Mel, Adam, take them on deck, he ordered. Mel and Adam untied Sheena and Dr. D and dragged us upstairs. Dr. Ritter's lunch, sandwiches, a salad, sat half-eaten on the table. Oh no, that lettuce is going to wilt! The two men herded us to the south side of the boat. That's starport. I looked down. The ocean churned beneath us. No other boats. Not a patch of land in sight. Not even the sweet landing strip I had shaved into myself before summer with Dr. D. No one. Nothing to save us. Nothing but sea. Endless, deep sea. And gigantic, hungry sea creatures. Which one of you will jump first? Dr. Ritter asked. Or do you all want to go together? I gazed down at the thrashing waves. Then I took a deep breath and got ready to jump.
So at one point they talked about the rattling plates and silverware thing, and I didn't want to get into this, and I still might delete this, but I wanted to do it at the end. But I always found it interesting that, so the original Night Stalker, it turns out, due to DNA evidence, was the East Area Rapist in Sacramento, which means he committed like hundreds of crimes, which eventually just turned into like murder. And he was a terrible person. And they think he might also be a guy that was in Goleta, the place in Santa Barbara that I've been. I don't know why I can't come up with a proper pronunciation of the name now. But anyway, the original Night Stalker never captured one of the most horrific serial killers in history, if not the, you know. If you're into reading about that sort of thing. Anyway, when he would tie the dude up and put all plates from their kitchen on the backs of them, right? So they're tied up on their stomach, hogtied style, covered in plates, and he would announce that if I hear the plates move, I will fucking kill you. I don't know. I don't know why it's such a simple thing, and I'm sure a bunch of people have thought of it and done it, but I don't know. It's interesting. That's an interesting little tidbit. There's a bunch of, there's a website that has a bunch of, like, transcripts from what he said to people. If you're into that. I don't know. I enjoy, like, the Museum of Death and that sort of thing, but, you know, hurting people's wrong, but still interesting to read about, right? I don't know. I'm just gonna keep going, then.
Chapter number 20. If I keep going, I'll forget to edit out the weird parts about serial killers. The waves crashed beneath me. My heart pounded so hard it hurt. I sucked in a lung full of air, wishing I had my vape. This could be my last breath, I realized. Stop, Dr. D cried. Let me jump, Ritter. Spare the kids. They can't harm you or your sexperiments.
I think a family should stick together, Dr. Ritter said, exposing his Christian values. Especially a family of snoops.
We're not snoops, Sheena protested.
We can't help it if we accidentally saw some of your big-ass fish. Like, if there were small-ass fish, we could have missed them, but they're big-ass because of you and your dumb-ass experiments.
We won't tell anyone about them, really, I cried, once again bitchily.
Dr. Ritter leaned close to Sheena like a cholo. Perhaps you would like to go first? Sheena glared at him. But I saw her shaking. I knew she was really scared, and Sheena hardly ever gets scared.
Leave her alone, Dr. D warned. Take us to an island, any island, whatever is nearest. Then we won't be able to tell anyone about your plankton sexperiments.
Dr. Ritter scowled. There are no islands nearby, and I can't take the chance. Sorry.
Dr. D refused to give up. He kept trying to stall.
Like, wow, I was going to make a joke about, like, a house bathroom trying to become a bathroom stall. And man, I don't know where I was going with that one. I need to fucking take my brain out and give it like a power washing. To talk his way out of this. But there was no way, Jose. I could see that. Think, I ordered myself desperately. There's got to be some way to escape. There's got to be. I glanced around, searching for something, anything. Maybe a life jacket. Didn't they have life jackets on the boat? Or a floating ring, you know, like a lifesaver, not like the candy, but the rings that float, that they're traditional things that are in like nautical bars. When you go to a bar near the water and you're like, what? I have to pay $9 for a beer that you serve in a weird tiki glass. Tiki drinks don't belong, or tiki glasses don't have beer. What's going on? I don't even know. If I could grab some kind of float, or at least we'd have a chance, but I didn't see shit on the deck. I craned my neck to look back at the stern. My heart beat faster. Yes, a rubber lifeboat. Now I just need to spend 15 minutes slowly blowing it up. What are you looking at, kid? Mel growled. You're looking for the Coast Guard or something? Believe me, there's no one around to rescue you. So forget about it, eh? I wasn't looking at nothing, I stammered. I was so scared, I could hardly breathe. Enough of this stalling around. What are we, communists? Get it, Stalin? Anyway, Dr. Ritter interrupted, you're wasting my time, and you're wasting your breath, and you're going to need all the breath you've got. It's time for a swim. Why doesn't he just murder them instead of putting them in the water? Sheena let out a screamo. Let her go, Dr. D shouted. Two strong hands gripped my shoulders. Help! I shrieked, please no! But screaming did no good. They pushed me over the side. Connie's getting tattooed right now, and I finally have a night to myself, and I'm like, you know what? I do shit nonstop. I just need to take some time, be a normal person, veg out, you know, watch some movie or TV or play video games or take a bath and read because I never get time to myself. But then here I am at chapter 21. I shut my eyes and prepared for the cold shock of the water, but I didn't fall. The strong hands didn't let go. Ooh, maybe they're God's hands, because when I was on the beach and there was only one set of footsteps, and man, God was carrying me. I felt myself pulled back into the boat. Ooh, like when I fell off the wagon as a dark shadow swept overhead. Dementors. Huh? I blinked several times. What's the sound they make in like Looney Tunes cartoons? Was it a shadow or my eyes? I heard a deafening noise. It probably sounded like a clattering, a beating sound. I turned to Dr. D. He and the others all had their eyes on the sky. A helicopter, I thought. Is it a helicopter? Someone to rescue us? No. That clapping, pounding sound couldn't be a helicopter's roar. Another shadow swooped over the boat, and then an ugly cry ripped through the air. Rack! Rack! Oh, well, that's where they got the name Rack from in Borderlands series for those flying bird things. God. Always stealing from R.L. Stein. Oh, no! Dr. D cried. Here they come! I shielded my eyes with one hand and I saw them, swooping low. Two enormous birds. Seagulls. Seagulls as big as my golden lab back home. It's probably short for Labrador, you know. It's probably a yellow lab. That's what I've normally heard them called. I used to have a yellow lab when I was a child named Simba. Then I had a chocolate lab named Topa and a black lab named Knight. And now my brother has a black lab named Porter who now lives here. Oh, fuck. That's big news. Goddamn. My brother's moving home. Actually, I think the day before my last day of work ever. Not ever. I'll probably keep working, you know. But still, my brother's moving home. That's fucking cool as hell. He's been gone for... fuck, 9 years, something like that? Maybe more, 10? I don't know, who knows. Anyway, crack! Rack! Their sharp eyes were so shrill, they hurt my ears. Their sharp cries were shrill, whatever. Here come two more victims of your great experiments, Ritter, my uncle shouted over the pounding of their wings.
They must have eaten the plankton too, Dr. Ritter exclaimed, unnecessarily because everyone put it together. The birds circled the boat. They cast huge shadows over us, their wings stretched out like sails. As I squinted up at them, they stopped circling and lowered their talons. Are they hunting for food? I wondered, staring up at the sharp bird claws gleaming in the sunlight. Are we the food? Before we could duck, because they're seagulls and they probably don't attack ducks because birds got a code of honor, or try to hide, the two huge birds soared toward us, talons raised, ready to clutch their prey, screeching all the way down.
I'm just going to have a sip of this here cocktail and keep going.
Chapter number two. I froze in panic. The screeching rang in my ears, filled my brain, made me feel as if my head would burst. I stared up at the raised talons. The shadows of the screeching birds washed over me. And then I felt a strong hand push me down, down to the deck. I turned back and saw my uncle, his jaw set, his eyes on the sky. He pushed Sheena and me down, then moved over us, protecting us. I couldn't see them, but I felt the heavy thud as the two heavy goals landed on the boat. Oh, maybe it's just two players from the San Diego Goals hockey team. They're a good team. And then I heard the shouts of Dr. Ritter and his men, angry shouts over the shrill squawks of the birds. It'd be cool if it said squawks of the hawks, but it did not be a thought. I don't know. I got nothing. I twisted my head, tried to see, but my uncle pushed my head down again, right towards his crotch, as he'd done so many times before, holding his arms over Sheena and me. I heard a struggle behind us. More squawks, more frantic cries. By the way, this is where J.K. Rowling stole the idea for hippogriffs from. You know, after she already stole the Dementors from When There Are Shadows. It's all stolen from this. I heard the heavy pounding of wings. A table fell over. Dishes crashed to the floor. Uh-oh, someone's about to get killed by the Night Stalker. A cry of pain. Quick, kids, now's our chance, Dr. D whispered in a different voice. He pulled us to our feet. Then, protecting us with his back, he shoved us across the deck to the lifeboat. Belay, help me untie this thingling, Dr. D ordered. The three of us struggled with the knots that held the lifeboat to the deck. Hooray, Dr. D urged us. Before they see what we're up to. Rack! I turned and saw one of the birds had Adam pinned under its sharp claws. Mel and Dr. Ritter were struggling to pull the powerful bird off him. This knot's undone, Sheena announced. She worked on another knot. She worked on Don Knott's knot. That's what she got. I nervously tugged at the knot in my hands. I was so scared I couldn't think. My fingers felt thick and clumsy because I was tubby and suffered from diabetes. Hurry, I ordered myself. Hurry before they catch us. Finally, I ripped open the last knot and pulled the lifeboat free. Dr. D tossed it into the water, holding it by a rope. Okay, let's go. Jump in, ladies. I mean, kids. I don't even know. Now, do it. I gripped the rail of the motorboat and braced myself to jump. Might as well jump. Boom, boom. Hey, I heard a cry behind me. I turned and saw Mel staring at us. Hey, they're getting away. That's what I say. They're not going to stay because they're getting away. He motioned to us. Stop, he shouted. He grabbed a spear gun. Don't move, he ordered. I hesitated. The sharp point of the metal spear sparkled in the sunlight. Would he really shoot us? Go, kids, now, Dr. D cried. Mel aimed the spear gun at my uncle and fired. Better not hit that stupid-ass boat.
Chapter 23.
Whoosh! There it is. Just kidding. I couldn't see it. It moved so fast, I could only hear the spear
fly through the ear. Not through an ear, through the air. I was just trying to make it rhyme again. I probably shouldn't change words for the sake of rhyming in a book. To my horror, Dr. D slumped to the deck. You shot him, I shrieked. Dr. D, Dr. D, Sheena cried. We both hurried to his side. Our uncle sat up. It missed. He seemed surprised. He leaped to his feet. Into the lifeboat, kids, he cried. A gull squawked. Rack! I heard Adam scream. Mel turned back to help him. I took a running jump, shut my eyes, and threw myself overboard. Plop! I landed in the soft rubber boat. Sheena jumped in after me. Then, Dr. D... Stop or I'll shoot, Dr. Ritter called. He picked up Mel's spear gun and aimed it at us. That's not how spear guns work. You gotta, like, reload that shit. Maybe I just had a spear. I know, it's called spearfishing. You have a spear, but you pull it back and you let go. I don't know. Maybe they actually have, like, a hydraulic one that actually shoots. A gull's wing bumped his arm, knocking the gun into the water. We frantically scooped our hands through the water, paddling away from Dr. Ritter's boat. You can't escape, Dr. Ritter called after us as we were escaping, shaking his fist. I'll get you. I want to do that to someone who escapes from me. I guess I have to kidnap someone first. Yeah, if you want to enter my Get Kidnapped by Dune contest, just send like $300 to Dune at Dune Reads Goosebumps via PayPal, and you can enter the contest, and I'll pick one person, and I'll kidnap them, and then you can get away, and I'll shake my fist and go, I'll get you, and then we'll have drinks after. Unless you're underage, then I'll just slip you a flask, and we can go to a bar, and you can watch me drink. Dr. D grabbed the lifeboat paddles. He started paddling with all his strength. The ocean pulled us away. The ocean turned rough and foamy. A wind kicked up and blasted us, churning up huge-ass waves. The waves carried us quickly out to sea. Dr. Ritter's boat faded into the distance. Well, we escaped, Sheena sighed. But where are we going? No sign of land anywhere. No sign of another boat. Nothing but water. Churning water and crashing waves. The rubber lifeboat smacked down hard on the water. Hold on, kiddos, Dr. D shouted. Here comes a big one. He unzipped his fly. I kid. I grabbed the sides of the boat as a huge wave tossed us into the air. Thump. We landed in a valley between waves. Then another wave smashed over us. I shivered, totally soaked. Is everybody A-okay? Dr. D asked. Sheena and I nodded. Then a gigantic wave caught us from behind. The lifeboat bounced high into the air. I clung onto the side, but Sheena's hand slipped off. She flew up into the air and disappeared into the white foam, like those disgusting raves they had in the early 2000s, where it would be a big foam party, but afterwards it'd just be brown foam. I think I've discussed this in a previous podcast. I don't know why I'm getting into it. Point is, I never went to one. It always seemed gross to me. Sheena! I screamed. She fell overboard. Her head bobbed up. Help! She sputtered. She sank below again, her arms thrashing. I waited for her to bob back up. Waited. Please, I prayed. And then there she was. Thanks, God.
No problem. Kid whose name Dune forgot.
That's what God sounds like. Like me. I leaned over the side, leaned forward, moreward, and grabbed her arm and hauled her back into the boat. Are you all right, Sheena? Dr. D asked. She coughed. Water ran down her face. I think so. Dr. D held on to her as another big wave done drenched us. We huddled in the lifeboat, wet, shivering, hungry, and tired. The lifeboat puddled with water. It was like sitting in a wading pool. Ooh, that sounds nice right now. It's hot as fuck. The sky grew darker. It would be night soon. Yeah, that's what it means when it grows dark. We'll have to spend the night out here, I realized. Out in the middle of the ocean. We can't even rest. The ocean is so rough. If we let go of the boat for a second, we could be thrown into the sea. We have no food, no water, nothing. Uh-oh, they're gonna have to eat Sheena. It can't get any worse than this, can it? I demanded. Can it? Sheena sneezed. Dr. D said nothing. It can't get any worse, I repeated to myself. And then it did. Huh. Now the main character knows how I feel about most Goosebumps books. All right, we'll keep this going.
The 24th chapter of the book. The sky darkened to black. Then lightning crackled overhead. Kaboom! A roar of thunder shook our tiny lifeboat. Rain poured down on us. Heavy sheets of cold rain.
I don't believe this, Sheena wailed. What a skeptic. It's happening right in front of her.
She wiped strands of wet hair from her face. We glumly sat in the boat. The waves bounced us. The wind blew across our drenched skin. The rain hammered down on us like some sort of hammer. Lightning ripped across the sky. Dr. D gazed up at the heavy, low clouds and Dunn frowned. It's not gonna let up anytime soon, he announced. Great.
It's probably not an actual version of the word great. He's probably being sarcastic, but we'll find out.
Meanwhile, the lifeboat filled up with water. Dr. D tried to scoop the water out with his hands. Help me bail, kids, just like your dad bailed on you, he ordered. If the boat fills up too much, we'll sink. We furiously scooped the water out, but the rain filled the boat as fast as we could empty it. What are we going to do? I took off one of my sneakers and tried bailing water with it. It worked better than nothing, so Dr. D and Sheena used their shoes to bail too. It didn't work very well with Sheena because she was wearing Crocs. The rain poured down for hours.
I'm so tired, I complained because I'm always fucking complaining and ruining things.
I threw down my shoe. I can't bail any more water, I can't. Don't give up, Billy, Dr. D scolded. We'll make it.
He didn't sound as if he really believed it, though.
Don't worry, he said, shouting over a boom of thunder. We're going to be all right.
I didn't see how, though.
If we don't starve to death, we'll sink. There's no one around to save us. No one.
Drinking break.
The rain finally stopped, but then it was night. Totally dark. No moon, no stars, just a black sky blanketed by clouds.
I'm so cold, Sheena whined, like a little bitch.
I'm hungry, I added, like a little bitch. I'm seasick, Dr. D admitted, like a little bitch-ass motherfucker.
I'm all three, I told them, like a triple bitch.
Plus thirsty, tired, and wet,
like a sextuple bitch? Whatever, heck a bitch.
We all laughed. What else could we do? When things get this bad, it seems ridiculous. We huddled together for warmth. My stomach growled. But I was so tired, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I fell asleep. I woke up with a thump. The boat had hit something. Or someone.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry. It usually goes someone or something. Point is, it didn't do either.
I opened my eyes and stared out at a silvery, pale world.
Narnia!
I'm dreaming, I thought. I closed my eyes again, but then I felt my wet clothes sticking to my skin. No, I realized, I'm awake. My eyes flew open. Sheena and Dr. Dina sat up, yawning and stretching.
What's happening? Sheena murmured.
The boat's not moving. I realized it stopped. Maybe they reached the end of the earth. I reached out to touch the water. Instead of water, my fingers sifted through sand. Dry land! Oh my god. It's like he stole this chapter from the end of Waterworld.
Clearly, I just went to Universal Studios, as they still have the badass Waterworld show there, but the movie hasn't been relevant for, what, 22, 23 years, something like that? I don't know.
Dry land! Hey, I cried, we've landed somewhere.
The sky lightened a little. The sun was just rising. I could begin to make out where we were, and make out with my sister. "Land!" Sheena shouted. She jumped off the boat. "Hurry, land! I don't believe it! I don't believe it!" Dr. D stood up and stretched. "Wow, that feels good!" "The sun shone brighter now!" "I threw myself!" "All up on the sand!" "Bake me!" "The sun!" "I sighed!" "Ha, ha, ha, ha!" "I wonder where we are," Dr. D said, softly gazing around. "Wherever we are, I hope they've got food," Sheena added. Our lifeboat had landed on a sandy beach. Up a slope, I could see a stand of palm trees. Other than that, nothing. No docks, no boats, no houses. No sign of any people, Dr. D noted. "I'm gonna take a look around."
"I'm coming too," I said.
"Me too," Sheena said in a weird new voice.
We followed Dr. D along the beach. We walked along the edge of the water. Fuck, I wish I was back in Hawaii walking on beaches and shit.
"Look, a coconut tree." Sheena pointed to a tall tree on the beach. A few coconuts nestled in the sand beneath it.
"Let's open one," she insisted. "I'm starving." Dr. D grabbed a coconut and smashed it against a rock. The coconut split open.
Bullshit.
Okay, I can handle plankton that makes fish giant and shit, but I can't fucking believe for even a second that Dr. D was like, "Oh, a coconut? Oh, now it's open and consumable." You ever tried to fucking open a coconut, especially with the husk on it? You don't just smash it against a rock and there you go. Everyone, have some coconut water. Oh, yeah, let's eat this coconut meat. Hey, you can use coconut oil for your hair. Oh, Franklin, his skin gets dry. The vet said to put some coconut oil in his food. No, it's bullshit, Dr. D. It's fucking like 3 hours of effort to get into the coconut. Fuck you. Sheena and I pounced on it. We picked up the broken pieces, like Dune should do with his psyche, and chewed the coconut meat. "Feel better?" Dr. D asked, sipping coconut milk from the shell. I wiped the sweet liquid from my chin.
"A little," I said, "but I could sure use a hamburger. Make that too."
Look at Wimpy. "And a double order of French fries with tons of catsup." By the way, I wasn't just saying things like an idiot like I normally do. It actually says catsup. Like, it doesn't say ketchup, that's all. Like, normally I say the retarded version of something, but just making it clear that that's not what I did right here at this time.
"Or a pizza," Sheena added. "We'll catch some fish later. You know I'm always trying to go after that fishy scent," Dr. D promised.
Why do I keep that joke going? That joke only exists in junior high with kids that have never had any sexual contact. Where they're like, "Yeah, dude, vaginas, that's fish." That's never been the case ever. I need to stop making that joke in here because I feel like I'm adding more fire, more fuel to the fire of bad misinformation from 13-year-old boys. But then again, 13-year-old boys don't know anything. 23-year-old boys don't know shit. I don't know how 13-year-old boys can even function. Oh yeah, they have parents.
"We can build a fire and cook them." We continued our way around the island. "Maybe we'll find a restaurant," Sheena wished out loud. But after 10 minutes, Dr. D groaned. "Oh, no. What is it?" I asked. "Look." He pointed a few yards down the beach. Our lifeboat. We were back where we started.
"You mean that's it?" I asked. "We've seen the whole island in 10 minutes?
"That's it," Dr. D sighed. "It's tiny."
Sheena sighed too.
"I'm still hungry and I don't want coconuts. Dude. At the end of holes, those kids, they ate just onions. Nothing's grosser than onions. They just ate them raw. You can handle your coconuts." Which I also don't really like. But still. You know.
Marooned children can't be choosers. I don't know.
"Looks as if we landed on a deserted island," Dr. D said. "But don't worry. We'll find something to eat."
I touched my face. My skin was hot, hot, hot. The sun had felt so good at first, but now I was getting sunburned.
Another question nagged at me, but I was so hungry, I tried to push it out of my mind.
"Billy, run into that clump of palm trees," Dr. D ordered.
See if you can find some wood to build a fire. I wandered, into the grove, hunting for something to burn. There wasn't much to be found. Mostly a lot of vines. Sup, dog? I'm about to do this crazy thing.
Get it? Because Vine used to be a thing where people would watch videos. It's not anymore.
And that nagging worry wouldn't go away. We were stuck on a tiny island with nothing but a rubber raft. And I had one question, a question I was afraid to ask out loud. How were we ever going to get off?
Dude, just beat off. Idiot.
Problem solved.
Yeah, I'm kidding. I know he meant like getting off the island, but I had to make a joke there. And it wasn't like a good one. It was an easy joke. It was low-hanging fruit, but I did it, you know? And we'll just move on from there, right?
Chapter number 25. I've switched to beer. I found a few sticks.
A bundle of sticks, if you will,
and carried them back to the beach. Dr. D was digging a pit for the fire. Good job, Billy! He took the sticks from me. This will do for now. Sheena was waiting near the shore. I sat down on the sand. Dr. D, I began. What are we going to do? Do you think we're far from the Cassandra? Dr. D sighed. I'm afraid I have no idea where we are, he admitted. So, what's going to happen? Are we going to rot on this island? I knew we couldn't last long. So far, we had eaten nothing but coconuts. Dr. D rubbed two of the sticks together, trying to get them to light. Maybe someone will see our fire. Maybe a plane will fly over us, like Jimmy Buffett on his way to some exotic island.
By the way, that's the book I'm reading right now. That's not Goosebumps, because I like reading. I'm reading two books right now. I'm reading the Mark Twain. Everything I read is all like the tropical thing. Mark Twain in the Sandwich Islands, when he was in there in Hawaii in the 1800s. Obviously 1800s, because he was alive. And then I'm also reading Jimmy Buffett's A Pirate Looks at 50. Point is, I want a seaplane. Why can't people pay me to just go and read like Jimmy Buffett gets paid to go play concerts, right? No? That seems pretty valuable, right? I don't know. Pay me, please.
Or a boat will pass by. Maybe someone will find the Cassandra empty and come searching for us. I leaned back and gazed at the empty sky. But that could take forever, I cried. Nobody even knows we're missing, except Dr. Ritter, and I don't want him to find us. I heard a shriek. I turned and saw Sheena running up the beach, waving something in one hand. Hey, look! Check this out! She shouted. I caught a fish! I caught a fish with my bare hands! She held out a small, wriggling silver fish. It actually says silver fish in one word, but I think of a silver fish as that gross-ass bug that, like, has scales when you smash it and turns into powder and, like, eats your books and stuff, and they're just fucking disgusting. The point is, I made it into silver fish, not silverfish. It's puny, I said. Restart required. Do not restart right now. God damn it. Fucking, I hate everything. All right, it's seriously going to restart. So, let's see you catch one, she shot back. Fucking Microsoft. That buzzing you heard just replaced the entire rest of this chapter that I already recorded. So that thing popped up, and I was like, what? What the fuck is this? And then finished recording the chapter, thinking I could restart after, and that was all that was there. Just that buzzing the rest of the way through. I just wanted to hear a little bit of that. I originally considered leaving all of it in so you could experience my anger, since I've had to restart twice since then, but now I'm a little more zen. I'm calm. I don't want to subject you to anything negative. Let's just keep on keeping on. So, let's see you catch one, she shot back, as Greedo did because Han shot first. Dr. D took the fish and set it on the sand. It's better than nothing. I'll catch a bigger one, I declared.
By the way, I hate re-recording anything at all because I hate repeating myself. Like, I hate telling someone the same story twice or making the same joke ever. Like, are you ever in a situation where you say something funny and someone goes, hey, hey, tell him what you just said. And you're like, oh, fuck, no, no, it's too uncomfortable. But I don't know. That's why I think I never was like, oh, I should do stand-up because I have to repeat things. But now that I'm like 30 and I realize my only skill is talking and saying things, I'm like, fuck, I really should, before it's too late, as I'm 30, try to start getting into that. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm in such a weird spot right now. I'm so stressed the fuck out. I can't sleep or do anything. I've been drinking heavily. I need to, like, go through old Goosebumps and listen to them and be like, oh, that's a bit. That's some material right there. But I'm not going to do that because I hate listening to myself. I think a lot of this just comes down to me hating myself, right? Anyway, so if you guys listen to anything that would be good, as a couple minutes of the old stand-up in my Goosebumps, just tell me, like, where it is, what time period, and what episodes. I'll go back and listen to just that period. That would be helpful. I don't have many skills, and I need to start doing shit. I don't know. I'm sorry for bringing you down. Where was I? I'll catch a bigger one, I declared. Sheena and I raced back to the water. We waded in hip high. A few small fish darted around us. They're all pretty small, I complained. We need some of Dr. Ritter's plankton to make them grow. I wouldn't want to eat one of his huge, giant fish, Sheena replied, making a disgusted face. Yuck! Maybe if we go a little deeper, we'll find bigger fish, I suggested. We waded in farther. A silver fish with a black stripe swam past me. Clearly, it swam very quickly because it had a sweet-ass raping stripe. Jesus Christ. That was a weird misspoken phrase. Ugh. Let me drink a little more. That one's a little bigger, I said. I made a grab for it. Missed. I tried again. I swam out a little farther, chasing the fish. Can't chase those sea dragons. I guess I waded out deeper than I meant to. Suddenly, I felt a sharp pain in my foot. Uh-oh. At first, I thought Sheena was pinching me, because that's what people do. They swim under the water and pinch people's feet. But the pain quickly swept up my leg. Hey, what's going on? I cried. I lowered my gaze to the water and let out a frightened scream. All right, I was just making sure it wasn't doing the buzzing sound. I'm going to keep recording because I only read, like, the last little bit of that chapter again. I'm still angry. Chapter 26. Oh, no, I moaned. I stared down at the water, down at the creature beneath the water. I saw a hairy back. It's probably not mine. I got electrolysis on my back. I don't know if it was worth it. I didn't do everything, but I just hate it. A brown purple shell. Enormous pinchers. And knew I'd been grabbed by a giant crab. The crab was as big as a card table, and it squeezed my toe in a pincher the size of my dad's lug wrench. Ooh, delicious giant crab. Except for when crabs get too big. I was about to say they're not delicious, but that's lobster, right? Like, if you have a big Alaskan crab, those are fucking great. King crab? Damn, I need to go somewhere with crab. Help! I screeched, oh, help! The crab snapped its claws. I managed to slip my toe out of its grip. Franklin, you're okay. Yoda's fine. Slipping and stumbling, I scrambled back to the shore as fast as I could. A giant crab! I shouted. Hey, look out! It followed me! Sheena let out a gasp and came splashing out of the water. The giant crab scrabbled onto the sand. Scrabbled? That's not a word. Is that supposed to be scrambled? Is scrabbled a word? Scrabbled. Scratch or grope around with one's fingers to find or collect something. An animal scratching at something with its claws. Stupid R.L. Stine and his vocabulary. I bet that motherfucker went to college. Quit showing off with your knowing scrabbled. You know, I would only use scrabbled as, like, I don't know. I just was putting down money on the counter, you know, I scrabbled it down in a weird pattern. Moving sideways, its hairy legs moving rapidly. I don't believe it, Dr. D cried. The crab moved toward us with amazing speed, snapping its claws. Into the trees, quick, Dr. D shouted. We ran into the palm tree grove. I scrambled up a tree, but out of the crab's reach.
Sheena climbed up behind me. Dr. D grabbed the branch of another tree and swung himself up. The crab watched us from below. It raised its hairy claws as if reaching for us. Click, click. If only we could cook it, Sheena exclaimed hungrily. That thing could feed us for a week. You don't want to eat week-old crab, Sheena. It must have eaten some of Dr. Ritter's plankton. Its huge size has made this crab very hungry. I don't know who's talking there. It doesn't say. It might have been Dr. D. The crab clicked its big claws, trying to grab us. Its body heaved in and out, in and out. It stood there for what seemed like hours. How long will it wait before it gives up? I asked. Dr. D shrugged. Your guess is as good as mine, because I don't know about crab time. I heard a crack. At first, I thought it was the crab's claws snapping. Another crack. Too close to be the crab, coming straight from beneath Sheena and me. The tree branch. Crack! Apparently, it was a squawking crack. To my horror, I realized that Sheena and I were too heavy for it. The branch was breaking off the tree. My sister and I were about to drop into the crab's waiting claws.
Chapter number 27. Something's going on at the ranch across the street, because I see lights and people and horses in that weird horse arena that I've never been to, but it's right fucking there.
With a low cry, I reached up both arms. I tried to grab the branch above us. I reached. No, my arms were too short. Shoot dog is a player. We're falling. Sheena cried with a loud crack. Our branch broke off and we tumbled down, onto the crab's hairy back. No, onto the hot sand. Huh? I gasped and spun around. The crab had moved away. It was scrabbling rapidly back toward the water. Listeners, in case you have a short memory, did you know that scrabbling is something that, like, animals do with their claws or some shit? Damn it, I already forgot what it meant. Whatever. Sheena sat up, her expression still startled. Our uncle climbed down from his branch. Are you two okay? We watched the huge creature splash back into the ocean. I'm never going back into that water, I declared. But, who knows what other monsters are waiting there? But how will we catch any fish? Sheena wailed. We're going to starve to death. Dr. D wasn't listening to us because we were boring as shit and he was an adult. He had turned away and was gazing down the beach. Oh no, he cried. The tide, it came in. The life raft. All three of us started running to the spot where we'd left our lifeboat, but it was gone. Dude, aren't you a scientist? Shouldn't you be on top of that shit? Not only are you a scientist, but you're a fucking adult. I stared out over the ocean and spotted a yellow speck in the distance. The lifeboat. The tide had carried it away.
Now we'll never get off this stupid island, I cried. Never, I'm stuck on a sweet island. I don't have to go to work tomorrow.
Dr. D didn't reply. He didn't say anything. The worried expression on his face said it all.
Drinking break.
We passed the rest of the day keeping in the shade, chewing coconut meat.
I'll never eat coconut again, Sheena whined. Not even in candy bars.
Okay, in candy bars. Or, like, you know, you could sprinkle it on lasagna and I'll eat anything. God, I'm so fat.
We didn't talk much. What was there to say? Night fell slowly. We watched the sky fade from blue to purple to black. Dr. D sat up suddenly. Did you hear that? He asked. I sat up too and listened hard.
What is it? Sheena asked.
It's coming from the beach, Dr. D said, which would have been a much better title for this book. We walked quickly down to the beach. Two huge animals splashed and played in the water.
Whales! Sheena cried.
No, not whales, you fucking idiot, Dr. D said. Dolphins. The dolphins ate the plankton too, I realized.
bottlenose dolphins. They're probably 40-ounce bottlenose dolphins, because that's like a big bottle.
What's that yellow thing they're playing with? Sheena asked. It looks like... It is. I shouted, our lifeboat. The dolphins brought it back. The lifeboat rope had dangled around the middle of one of the dolphins. Wherever the dolphin swam, the boat trailed behind it.
Oh, R.L. Stein, please tell me that they're not going to use the lifeboat and a giant chemically infected dolphin to be some sort of horse and carriage of the sea. That would be really terrible. And also, it's one of the dreams that I didn't know I had in life. I'm adding that to my bucket list after dying. That's the only thing on my bucket list right now, just dying.
Let's go rescue it, Dr. D cried. He splashed into the water. Sheena and I followed him. No time to worry about giant crabs. We had to get that raft. We swam out to where the dolphins played. They gurgled at us.
I can't make that sound. That's better, I think.
They didn't seem afraid of us at all. Why should they be? They were a lot bigger than we were, and smarter than us, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. They're only dolphins, I told myself. Dolphins don't hurt people, they just have weird sex with them, and eat acid with them, and weird government studies. But I was a little afraid of them, especially since our visit from the giant crab. Dr. D grabbed the edge of the rubber raft. Sheena and I climbed in. Now, if we can just get that rope from around this dolphin, Dr. D groaned. He tugged on the rope. The dolphin began to swim, motherfucker. They're doing exactly what Heyo, I am back. It's now Sunday. As you could tell by the buzz right there, it fucked up again. I had read the rest of this chapter, and I was like, huh. And I thought it was a hardware issue. Like, my shit was fucked up, especially because I have a nice... like Tascam audio interface that's sitting here, and Fred bought it, except for the power cord on it doesn't work. So we're waiting for that to be delivered. So I have a nice piece of equipment that can maybe get around this, I was thinking. But then I read on Reddit that the new Windows 10 update that initially fucked this up, fucked everyone's shit up. Yay, go Microsoft. So anyway, I'm back. Shout out to Bailey Kaufman. Your boyfriend Jeremy hit me up on Facebook and said, hey, can you give my girl a shout out? I'm going to give you money. And I was like, hell yeah. But I would have done it without the money pledge. But now that he did, he has to pay me a lot. I don't know. I'm drinking a Pabst tall can, hoping that it'll get me through the rest of this if it doesn't keep fucking up. So where we were, I was complaining because I had already called the fact that the dolphin was going to swim to shore or something like that. But anyway, he tugged on the rope. The dolphin began to swim. The dolphin's carrying us away, Sheena said. Wait, dolphin, stop. The dolphin didn't stop because it only speaks that dolphin language. It kept swimming. Faster and harder and more erotically, Dr. D hauled himself into the boat. The island was a speck behind us now. We couldn't swim back to it even if we wanted to. The dolphin was carrying us far out to sea. We might as well sit back and enjoy the ride, Dr. D said. There's nothing else we can do.
All right, just had to check if it's still recording because we're in the middle of a drinking break.
The dolphin pulled us on that long. The sea was calm that night, like Dune was not when the fucking recording stopped again and I lost a chapter. I hate repeating myself. We slept in the boat again. When I opened my eyes, everything was gray, misty. I heard the dolphin gurgling and chirping as if it were talking to us.
Hey, I'm a dolphin. Do you understand me? No? Okay, cool.
The sun was just about to come up. The ocean was covered with a thick blanket of fog. The dolphin poked its head over the side of the boat. It had slipped the rope off. It was free now.
Let my people...
It's a dolphin slave song.
With a splash, it swam away. It quickly disappeared through the thick fog. I peered through the fog. I could barely see past the lifeboat. We were still in the middle of the ocean, but I thought I saw something nearby, and Dune was hoping that the horrible sounds of the washer and the dryer and the dishwasher going in the other room aren't picking up, but they probably are, and people like Laxeter are gonna complain, but he's gonna complain no matter what because he's a racist. Something big and white, like Geo. Hey, I got a whole Pod Gods reference. Like a boat. My heart sank. Oh no, I thought. I think I've seen this boat before. I shut my eyes again, wishing it would go away. I opened them. There it was. No, it can't be. It's too horrible. I shook Dr. D. Wake up, I cried. Look where we are. Dr. D opened his eyes, sensually. Huh? My uncle muttered. Where? Are we? The dolphin carried us back, I wailed, back to Dr. Ritter's boat. Oh no! Let's really hope this recorded, because goddamn I'm frustrated. Chapter number 28. Oh, I went to the movies this morning, because we're all fucked up, because we had a garage sale yesterday, which we need to do again, because we didn't, I don't know, plan properly or post it, I don't know. But we were up early and sitting out in the hot sun, and I was bored, so I just started drinking. So the point is, I was asleep last night before 9, and then I woke up hecka early and went to the Mexican market and got stuff to make breakfast burritos and came back and cooked. And then Connie's like, shit, I gotta be at work till like 2. And I was like, damn. So we're like, you wanna go to a movie early? And we went and saw the Wacky Doozle and the Home for the Peculiar Kids. Or whatever that is. I enjoyed it. I guess I'm not making fun of it. It was weird. It was like Tim Burton, but they weren't letting Tim Burton just totally like just jack off and do whatever he wants. They like reeled it in. There's only really one significantly Tim Burton scene. And it almost to the point of being Tim Burton where at the time I was like, is it like a parody of Tim Burton? But the point is, I hate going to the movies because it's surrounded by people and I don't want to deal with people. It's terrible. And about 5 minutes into the movie, Connie turns to me and she's like, we went to a 10:15 showing. What the fuck are these people eating so much of? And the entire movie was ruined for me because all I could focus on was the people all around me who were eating the entire fucking time. And I'm like, they probably had some sort of breakfast or something. And how do you eat for an entire over 2 hour movie plus trailers? And it was baffling. The point is, I was just surrounded by people eating, and I was like, ah. And that was after I went to fucking Hobby Lobby yesterday with her, which I had to drink heavily for to go to after the garage sale, and realized the main hobby of people that go to Hobby Lobby is eating. They should just call it Hobby Lobby and just have food. That's it. Oh, life. Oh, no! Sheena wailed. Not again! What are we gonna do? I asked. Shh, Dr. D whispered. Stay calm. But don't, like, stay calm in a way that there's a t-shirt you're trying to sell, because no one likes those stay calm t-shirts, and anyone who has them should throw them away. They don't know we're here. Maybe we can get away somehow. Get away? I exclaimed. To where? I can't stay on this raft another minute, Sheena insisted. I want to go home. That stupid dolphin, I muttered. How is he mad at the dolphin? The dolphin's like, ah, humans, they like boats. I'll take him to a boat. That dolphin is rad. Shout out to that dolphin. I thought dolphins were supposed to be smart. I can't believe it pulled us to Dr. Ritter's boat. The fog surrounded us like a thick gray curtain. It swept in and out. In and out. That's what this fog is. All about making Dr. Ritter's boat appear to shimmer. The rubber raft drifted closer to the boat. I could almost touch the side of the bow. I thought I saw a word printed there. I did. The name of the boat. I started to read it. I could only make out the first few letters. C-A-S. Huh? Dr. D, I cried. It's not Dr. Ritter's boat. It's our boat. It's the Cassandra. Hey, that was a super smart dolphin. This book should be about him, not this bitch-ass kid. Dr. D squinted. Sure is, motherfucker, he cried. You're right, Billy. I wish you were a dolphin. Me and Dune both agree on this. You should be a dolphin, not some jabroni. We were safe. Sheena and I jumped up and danced around. We're home! We're home! We're home! We sang. The lifeboat bounced under our feet. Whoa, I cried. We nearly tipped it over. Sit down, kids, Dr. D said. We're 2 feet from safety. We don't want to drown now. We paddled the rubber raft to our boat and dragged ourselves aboard. I was so tired, but I couldn't help. Yoda, what the fuck are you doing?
Yoda! I love you.
He pulled down a bunch of Connie's drawings and her big calendar and made himself a tiny little teepee. And then I looked at him and he went meow, my face. That's what he was doing. Anyway, we paddled the rubber raft to our boat and dragged ourselves aboard. I was so tired, but I couldn't help doing another little dance on the deck of the Cassandra. Sheena slapped me 5. Nothing can stop us, she cried happily. Not a stormy night on the high seas, not getting stranded on this empty island, nothing. Dr. D laughed. I can't wait to take a shower with a sexy lady or 8 and go to bed with 15 more. I haven't had a sex. I'm covered in weird Caribbean STDs. But first, I'm cooking us all a big breakfast. Ooh, aphrodisiacs. Pancakes! I suggested. Pancakes and waffles, Sheena cried, not realizing that would be gross together and just too much food. Breakfast is going to have to wait, a deep voice said. We all froze. Dr. Ritter stepped out of the cabin. You won't be hungry much longer, he sneered. Chapter number 29. I can't take this, Sheena wailed. Tears formed in her eyes. Quiet, Dr. Ritter snapped. Dr. D laid a hand on Sheena's shoulder and shushed her. That sounds like a tongue twister. Sheena's shoulder shushed her. I guess it's not. Where are your assistants? He asked Dr. Ritter. That's none of your business. I don't need them now. I can take care of you myself, Dr. Ritter replied in his new voice. You're all very tired and weak, aren't you? Even you, Dr. D. That's what happens when you don't eat for 2 days.
Oh, shit, they didn't know that they ate some coconuts and shit.
I glanced at Dr. D. It was true. He looked exhausted. Go ahead, Dr. Ritter went on. Get back to the lifeboat. I dare you.
Ooh, I like his new voice. I wish I was doing it the whole time.
My eyes fell on the rubber boat. Dr. Ritter knew what he was doing. I would rather have eaten fish guts with horseradish than get back in that thing. What do you want now, Ritter? Dr. D's voice was tired, even though it was still a little sassy and kind of Mitch Hedberg and kind of sexual. And even though he fucked up the beginning of that sentence because he was reading forward to figure out if it was Dr. D speaking so he could do the proper voice because Dune's on top of a bunch of things but really not on top of anything, was tired but angry. Why did you wait here for us? Dr. Ritter scowled.
I can't let you live. I can't let you tell the world about my plankton.
We promised we wouldn't tell, Sheena cried. Look, cross my heart and hope to die. She crossed her heart and held up her hand, Girl Scout style.
Do Girl Scouts swear to die? They just sell cookies.
Hey, do Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts or whatever sell anything?
Because I saw some selling shit and it just seemed like a yard sale. Like, it was a bunch of random stuff out there. It was like candy bars and some bags of maybe like pretzels. They should sell potato chips, but in different flavorings that only exist from the Boy Scouts. That's all. Or I guess no one should sell anything outside of grocery stores. That's a much better idea.
Dr. Ritter laughed.
You're very amusing. I'm so sorry it has to end this way. I really am.
The sun finally burned through the fog. I shivered. I wasn't cold and wet anymore, but Dr. Ritter gave me the chills.
All of you, down to the lab, Dr. Ritter ordered. Go!
He forced us downstairs, into my uncle's lab. Dr. Ritter stood in front of the cabinet, the one that held the plankton bottles.
I believe those plankton samples you collected, Dr. Deep, he said.
Wait. I believe those are the plankton. All right, let me drink. It's all right. I started this early in the day, so I didn't drink, and I went to a movie. I know you think I'm just a lush, which I am, but it actually helps to drink with this because you can do one thing while thinking about another thing, and your mind's all fluid and loosey-goosey. So that's why every time I fuck up, I drink. That, and so I have something to do while I reset my brain. Anyway, those are my plankton samples and shit, am I right? Dr. D nodded. Good. You've gathered a lot of my work. You must have been very interested in it.
Of course I was, Dr. D said. I'm a scientist. A sexy, sexy scientist.
Yes, yes you are, wink, Dr. Ritter hissed. You're a scientist. You want to learn more, am I right?
Dr. D slowly nodded, just like some of the ladies he convinced to go back to the boat.
Implications. Excellent. You asked me earlier about the side effects of my plankton experiments, Dr. Deep, and the few kinks I haven't worked out yet. I think now is the time to show you what they are.
Dr. Ritter opened the glass door of the cabinet.
When fish eat the plankton, they grow huge. He pointed to the bottles of plankton lined up on the shelves. You've already seen that, haven't you? But what you don't think happens... But what do you think happens when humans eat the plankton? Billy, want to take a guess? Dr. Ritter asked.
I took a stab at it. I don't know. I've already read what feels like 15 monster blood books, so I assume they do some, like, monster blood type shit?
Wrong, Dr. D cried. Sheena, what do you think? Is your answer monster blood type shit?
Sheena shrugged. Fuck off, dude. I don't give a fuck. Just trying to eat and not be murdered. Fuck your monster blood-ass plankton.
You should care, Sheena, Dr. Ritter said, because whatever happens, it's going to happen to you! He turned to my uncle, Dr. Deep. Any guesses? Or have you already figured it out in your research?
Just tell us what happens, Ritter, Dr. D snapped impatiently.
All right, I'll tell you. When a human eats the plankton, he turns into a fish.
Excuse me? I cried.
Is this some kind of a fairy tale? Is this like Penthouse Forum for kids?
My uncle groaned.
Dr. Ritter ignored us.
The human becomes a fish, he repeated, almost instantly, and that person will remain a fish for the rest of his life.
Oh, is that how the mermaids were formed? God damn it. I shouldn't be asking these questions and pretending I enjoy this.
That's impossible, Dr. D protested. You are crazy. You're crazier than a road lizard, Dr. Ritter. Let us take you to shore and get you some higgity-iggity help with your briggity-iggity brain.
I'll show you who's crazy, Dr. Ritter declared like a crazy person. I'll prove it to you.
He grabbed me by the back of my neck as if he was a mama dog with a puppy. So adorable.
Hey, let go, I shouted.
He didn't say a word. He just shoved me up to the glass cabinet. He shoved my face close to the rows of bottles, bottle after bottle, filled with murky brown plankton.
Take a bottle, Billy, he ordered. Any bottle.
He pushed me again until my forehead nearly knocked a bottle over. Then he let go.
Go ahead, he repeated. Choose one.
Why? I asked. Why do you want me to take a bottle?
I'll tell you why, Dr. Ritter said. Because you're going to drink it, Billy. All of it. You're going to drink my milkshake.
And it's not really a milkshake. It's just tiny organisms that are kind of like plants, kind of like animals, but fish eat them and other things eat them, and eventually they get into humans' bodies because that's how
the circle of life works.
Okay, Billy?
Chapter number 30.
Hey, that's my age. I stared at the bottles. Hey, that's what I do.
Take one, Billy, Dr. Ritter insisted, or I'll take one and pour it down your throat.
Ooh, that's Dr. D's move.
I had no choice. I reached up and picked the last one from the middle shelf. I stared at it. Disgusting brown and green gloop.
Not exactly the breakfast I had in mind.
Wait till you see this, Dr. Deep, Dr. Ritter said.
So many doctors, so pretentious.
He stared at me, his eyes gleaming. The growth hormone reacted strangely with the plankton, Dr. Ritter explained. As soon as the boy drinks it, he'll turn into a fish. It only takes a minute or two.
He grabbed the bottle from me. He opened it and handed it back. I wonder if somehow the plankton's going to get in Dr. D's mouth and he's going to be a fish. And then Billy's going to get his fishbowl back. And instead of having the goldfish in it, it's going to be Dr. Ritter. And that's how he got his scientist fish and his shrunken head and monster blood. He grabbed the bottle from me, opened and handed back drink. I lifted the bottle to my lips.
No,
Sheena cried. Dr. D covered the lip of the bottle with one hand. Wait, Billy, he said. This is ridiculous, Dr. Ritter. Stop this silliness immediately and let us go. I can't do that. I already explained why, Dr. Ritter answered. You need help, Dr. Ritter, Dr. D said. Here, have a Quaalude. You're not thinking clearly. You're a brilliant man. You could be a great scientist. I am a great scientist, Dr. Ritter insisted. I'm about to prove to you that... God damn it. Let me get a sip of this. I'm about to prove to you...
God, I fucked it up twice.
I'm about to prove that... To you right now. Oh, prove that he's a great scientist. That makes sense. Drink, Billy. Dr. D's hand still covered the bottle. Thank you, Dr. D, I thought. You can't be a great scientist if you hurt people, Dr. D insisted. Forgetting about, Dr. Mangala. Mangle? Whatever. The Nazi scientist. He's probably a good scientist. He just was a terrible human being. Let us go. We'll get you the help that you need. Then you can change the world for the better, like Michael Jackson. You are an idiot, Dr. Deep, Dr. Ritter sneered. You'll be the next one to turn into a fish. Just as soon as I finish with the boy. I was going to make another Michael Jackson joke, but I still think he's innocent. He swatted Dr. D's hand away from the bottle. Drink that plankton now, Billy, he commanded, or I'll throw you all overboard. I swished the brown liquid in the bottle. I gulped. It looked gross. But what was my choice? Drown or drink? My hand trembled as I raised the bottle to my lips, and I drank it down. Oh no, he drank poo-poo water. Oh no, that's gross. That's icky. Ew.
Chapter number 34.
I made a disgusted face. My whole body shook. Then I stood there stiffly, every muscle tensed, waiting. The others stared at me. They didn't move either. Sheena's chin trembled.
I don't want you to turn into a fish, Billy. Why did you drink it? Why didn't you throw it on the floor?
He would just pick another bottle for me, I replied hoarsely, not like a little bitch. I could taste the liquid in my mouth. I felt it gurgling around in my stomach. At least a minute passed, then another. Okay, Dr. Ritter said, it should happen now. I don't see any changes, Dr. D said. Give it another minute, Dr. Ritter insisted. I know it works. I tried it on my assistant Mel last night. He's swimming around there, playing tag with a blue marlin right now. That's pretty cool. The room fell silent as we all waited for me to turn into a fish. My stomach felt a little queasy. Maybe he's lactose intolerant. My body doesn't like lactose before 2 in the afternoon. Otherwise, nothing. I sighed and shifted my feet. It's been more than 5 minutes, Ritter, Dr. D said. Looks like your plankton doesn't work for shit. Dr. Ritter scowled furiously. No, that's impossible. It works. I know it works. He grabbed me and shook me. Oh, no. Oh, sorry. Fish, turn into a fish. I bumped him away. He toppled backwards. Dr. D pounced on him. Gotcha. Dr. Ritter pushed him off and grabbed a bottle of plankton. I like that he was trying to force him to drink the plankton. They didn't bring up if he had a gun or anything like that. He was just like, hey, drink that. I know there's 3 of you and 1 of me, but drink it, idiot. And he was like, all right, that sounds like a plan. Anyway, he grabbed another bottle of plankton. He raised the bottle over his head.
Look out, Dr. D,
Sheena cried. Dr. Ritter swung the bottle.
Dr. D ducked. Dastardly.
I snatched the bottle from Dr. Ritter's hand. My uncle leaped at Dr. Ritter. Dr. Ritter dodged him and dashed out of the lab so many D's.
He's going up on deck. He's going to do an upper decker, Sheena shouted about shitting.
We raced after him. Dr. D tackled Dr. Ritter on the deck. Dr. Ritter rolled away. He jumped on Dr. D. They wrestled around sexually. I set the bottle of plankton down.
Get off him if you're not going to get him off,
I yelled. I tried to pull Dr. Ritter off. My uncle, Dr. Ritter, elbowed me anyway. Dr. D grabbed him. They rolled across the deck. Dr. D, look out, I screamed. He was about to roll overboard. With a grunt, Dr. D jumped to his feet. He dove on Dr. Ritter and pinned him to the deck. Get a rope, Billy, quick. Get it from my nightstand. There's lots of ropes and chains and lubricants and such, he ordered. I grabbed the first rope I found on the deck. Tie him up, Dr. D ordered. Sheena, help me hold him down. Sheena took a running start and leaped on top of Dr. Ritter as Dune drank some Pabst Blue Ribbon. Dr. Ritter grunted.
My stomach.
Sheena sat on top of him. Dr. D pinned his arms down. I wrapped the rope around his wrists. Dr. D had taught me some sailor's knots the summer before. My mind raced, trying to remember them. How did it go? I thought in a panic. Over, under, around. Dr. Ritter squirmed under Sheena.
Hurry, Billy, she snapped. I'm trying, I said.
It's all over, Ritter, Dr. D said. We're taking you to the International Sea Life Patrol. How do I join that? That's maybe my calling. Oh my god, is anyone listening a member of the International Sea Life Patrol? Because I would like to apply. Also, I get motion sick. Is that going to be a problem?
Psst, it is. Over? Under over?
No, you're not, Dr. Ritter cried. He bucked Sheena off. She tumbled to the deck. He wrenched his hands from the rope and shoved Dr. D away. My crummy knots were useless.
God, just tie a normal knot like three times, idiot.
Dr. D tried to grab him, but Dr. Ritter dove away and crawled across the deck. He snatched up a bottle of plankton. He stood and waved the bottle at us.
You'll never turn me in, he declared.
Then he pulled the bottle open, tilted it over his mouth, and drank it down, just like Dune had predicted.
Ooh, yeah, big old chapter number 32.
It works, Dr. Ritter declared. I'll prove it to you. He tossed the bottle aside. The glass smashed on the deck, rude.
You can't fool us, Dr. Ritter, Sheena said. We know that stuff doesn't work. We saw Billy drink it.
But Dr. Ritter's body began to tremble. Quickly, his skin began to darken to a silvery blue-gray.
Something's happening, Dr. D exclaimed.
Dr. Ritter's skin began to flake.
Ooh, that point nasty. Nashy? I was going to say nasty or ashy and just went, whatever. Point is he needs lotion. He's ashy. That's why he's flaky. Fuck it. Sorry.
Then it turned scaly.
Ooh, he's shooting up that crocodile.
It glittered in the sunlight. Ooh, he's doing some Twilight cosplay. His body began to shrink. His clothes slid off the slick scales. His hair fell away. His head flattened. His whole body shrank and flattened.
It's working, I gasped.
He's turning into a fish. Dr. Ritter's arms shriveled into fins. His legs melted together, melted into a fish tail. He flopped on the deck. One flat eye stared glassily up at us as he flipped his tail.
He's a fish, Sheena cried. I don't believe it.
With one great flip of his tail, the fish plopped over the side of the deck and into the water. We watched him as he dove under the surface.
Stop him, I shouted. He's getting away. We can't let him escape.
I started for my snorkeling flippers, but Dr. D squeezed my shoulder.
No, Billy, it's okay. Let him go away.
Huh? Why? You heard what he told us, Billy. Dr. Ritter will be a fish forever. Forever, ever, forever, ever, Dr. D explained. He can't do anyone any harm now, except for smaller fish and that sort of thing. You know, the circle of life that we got into earlier. I stared down at the silvery fish. It splashed its tail in the water and swam out to sea. Wow! Sheena gasped, pressing her hands against her cheeks. Dr. D put his arm around us. I guess that adventure is over. He sighed. I was so scared. I've never been so scared in my entire life, except for waiting for the results of HIV tests. Sheena and I agreed. I'm scared and amazed, I told my uncle. I'll never forget the strange things we saw this week. What kind of weird, cheesy ending is this? We followed Dr. D down to help him prepare breakfast. He stopped in his lab. What a mess, he sighed. I guess I'll clean it up later. Sheena walked over to the cabinet of plankton bottles. She turned to me and narrowed her eyes at me. Hey, Billy, you drank a bottle of plankton too. I shrugged. Yeah? So? So why didn't you turn into a fish like Dr. Ritter did? She demanded. You know why, I teased. I do not. Yes, you do. It's because I'm not human. I'm superhuman. She punched me in the stomach. Come on, tell me the real reason. Dr. D folded his arms across his chest. Yes, Billy, tell us. I'd be interested to hear this. I grinned. Well, it's thanks to you. Sheena! Me? Uh-huh. I was really angry after you played that trick on me. You know, the doll's head in the goldfish bowl? Sheena agreed. Yeah, I remember that. Ha-ha, hilarious. Anyway, I spent all day and all night trying to think up a good trick to play on you. So, to get you back. That's all you ever do, Billy, Sheena said. What's so different about that? I tapped the cabinet. I had a great idea. I took one of the plankton bottles and dumped the plankton out. Dr. D grimaced. Say what? Sorry, Dr. D, I said. I figured you had so many, you wouldn't miss one. I still don't get it, Sheena said. Then what? I washed out the bottle. Then I poured iced tea into it, I explained. I was going to bring you in here and say, hey, Sheena, want to see me drink plankton? Then I'd gulp down the iced tea and totally gross you out. That wouldn't have grossed me out, Sheena protested. Yes, it would, I insisted. You would have puked all over the cabin floor. No, I wouldn't, Dr. D interrupted us. You planted a bottle of iced tea in the plankton cabinet, so when Dr. Ritter told you to choose a bottle. Right, I cried. I picked the bottle of iced tea. Sheena laughed. She laughed so hard she almost choked. I know, it's funny, I said. But even I don't think it's that funny. She hiccuped and caught her breath. I don't believe it, she gasped. You and I are starting to think alike, Billy. What do you mean? I played the same trick on you, she cried. The exact same trick. I put iced tea in a bottle. Watch. She pulled a bottle from one end of the cabinet, ripped off the stopper, and gulped it down. Dr. D and I watched her in shock. Sheena made a weird face. Her eyes bulged. She grabbed her stomach. Oh, wow, she groaned. Did I drink the right bottle? The end of this bullshit ass bullshit. What the fuck? I was like, all right, I don't want to do Deep Trouble 2. And then, honestly, it got better. It was better than Deep Trouble 1. I will give it that, because that one was the goddamn one that promised me giant sharks and only delivered little mermaids. But that was the ending that maybe she just fucked herself over by just being an idiot and drinking stuff. That's terrible. Terrible, I say. I'm glad I finally finished this. Those beeping or buzzing or whatever they were very frustrating. I think I have two more full books left. And then maybe, I don't know, if people wanted to subscribe and do it with me, maybe I would do like a set time once a week or every other week to do a Give Yourself Goosebumps. Does Twitch allow you to do that, where you could have like a voting for the next chapter and numerous people voting? But I would only do it if lots of people are doing it. By lots, I mean like 20. That's not a whole lot, right? I don't know. I just don't know. But that being said, I'm almost done. I got a lot of shit to do around the house. I'm starting a new job. I might have a Kickstarter thing soon that I will force you guys to give money for. I don't know. I'll let you know if that's happening.
until I do whatever I'm gonna do, y'all can
stay spooky, bitches.